Every single one of us has been in a waiting room or a dull meeting and tried to find something to help pass the time. For many people, that means it's time to pick up the smartphone and check the news or send a text or watch a video. But what if that would be rude? Or what if you already have a pen in hand and some paper in front of you? Then doodling is clearly the best option. Just start scribbling some shapes and you may end up with something. Rebecca Fish Ewan is a landscape architect and poet, but she also has written a book about doodling and even teaches the occasional class on doodling. So, Rebecca, does doodling have a bad reputation because it sounds like something flippant we do when we're bored?
Yes. Actually, a couple of things, because I looked it up. I keep the OED, the Oxford English Dictionary, near my desk all the time, sometimes just to prop up my laptop to get a better camera view. But also because I just love the origins of words. And actually, doodle wasn't connected to writing at first. It sort of meant someone who maybe was not considered highly intelligent, and they would call them a doodle. And it does have that kind of negative connotation attached to it. And I know that there's this idea that doodling is a frivolous thing, and if you doodle, say, during a meeting or while you're in class, that it will be detrimental to your learning. But in fact, recent science studies have shown that doodling can help you retain 29% more information than if you're not doodling.
Rebecca, is there an intimidation factor when it's called drawing instead of doodling? So doodling is a better word to use, because many of us draw as little kids, but then once someone tells us that our drawing stinks, we just kind of stop doing it.
You go through the artist filter, and a lot of people never question it. And a lot of people will do it themselves. They'll look at their work and they'll look at, you know, so-and-so next to them and decide they're not the artist in the room. And they never question that again. They just stamp that as a valid truth. And I'm like, how many truths, you know, in fourth grade do you really hold, you know, today? Like, what's the best outfit to wear or any of those things? Or the best food for lunch? But for some reason, that one really sticks with people. And that was a large degree why I wanted to make this book in the first place, because writers do that. Really, you know, there's a big wall between them and drawing. And I was trying to figure out how to just like knock it down or just walk around it.
Well, when you have your doodling classes, do you have a mix of people? Like, some people are really gung-ho, while others are just still nervous about it.
Yeah, I do. And I've actually been teaching in the landscape architecture program at ASU for over 25 years now.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
In that group, there's usually, you know, they're comfortable with drawing, but they're reluctant about writing. And so getting them to write has been, and before that I was a math teacher, which is, you know, you can deal with a lot of reluctant people when you're trying to get high schoolers excited about calculus. It's always focused on thinking that there might be some reluctance, you know, and if someone's eager to draw and loves to draw, they're probably going to enjoy drawing no matter what they're doing. But then there's going to be people who are reluctant and kind of afraid of it. And so trying to figure out ways to make the page seem less scary to those folks, because it is just a page. I mean, if you think about it. But it is.
Yes,
but terrifying sometimes.
Yes, but I'm holding up. But when the pages are blank, it just seems so intimidating. What am I going to do with this?
Right. And that's actually why one of the really early prompts in the book is about these kitty paw squares, which I was always a cat person. In fact, one of the things I obsessively drew when I was younger was cats. And I was always drawing cats. And you would think I'd be really good at drawing cats at this point. But the cats that are in the book are, you know, they're a little more sophisticated than what I drew when I was a kid, but there's kind of a simplicity to it. But they have this way of walking across your work. They'll just, you know, if you have a blank page, that's just a cat bed. That's just an invitation or a dance floor, more like it. They get on your page and they sort of walk across it. And so I was thinking about that. And I was like, okay, well, what if we just made little squares like that across the page? You know, that's no more no more thought gone into it than whatever's going into a cat's mind when they're walking across your page. And that way you can subdivide the page up into these smaller squares. It's sort of the divide and conquer logic. When you're trying to doodle, you can just focus on one square at a time and just ignore the rest of the white space. It doesn't matter. And if that square's still scary, just make a smaller square.
Rebecca, does the doodling actually need to lead to something solid, something concrete, or can it just be used as a spark towards some other kind of creativity?
It can be abstract, or it could, you know, end up looking like a thing. It is a good exercise, you know, to think about something and then try and draw it. If you're a writer and you're trying to describe a particular room and, you know, and how someone's moving through or the way it, you know, when they sat down on the couch, it's helpful to try and draw that actual couch and imagine it and think about how, so that you can describe it better. So it's helpful sometimes to draw actual things, but it's also extremely useful to just make lines on the page. It's relaxing. The idea that it doesn't necessarily have to lead somewhere, I think, is an important part of sort of tapping into creativity. At least I'm a firm believer in sort of wandering and being lost and having no destination. That's how I move around in the world. Although I love maps. I mean, I love the freedom of getting a map and coming to a new city and then just exploring and wandering around so that you get a few ideas of where you want to go. And then the rest of it's sort of free for you. And I think you can run into and find, you know, you can find a lot of really interesting things that way, whether you're walking or drawing or even writing. As a writer, I think the description is whether or not you're a planner or a pantser.
All right, right.
You're writing by the seat of your pants. I'm definitely a pantser. I get an idea, I think of something, and I write it down. And then with the faith that eventually, it came from my brain. I have faith in my brain that eventually it will lead to something useful.
That is Rebecca Fish-Ewan. She is the author of the book Doodling for Writers.